we are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Guys don't get to see me very often. Some people do. If you're in the store, obviously you get to see me. I'm in there about 25 hours a week. But usually when I do one of these things, you don't see me. You see the comic book or comic books, the store, whatever it is I'm talking about. I have a space. I'm here. I have a whole other life outside of the comic book shop world there, and this is some of it here, and you can see it doesn't go very far from the comic book shop because, well, there you go. I have collectibles and let's see. I guess you can't really see it from here. There's a lot of comic books in the immediate area, so it's nothing different in that respect at all. But just this idea that you get to see me, and I'm just jumping on here. I'm just throwing this video together because I'm a person that likes to talk about things. I like to hash these things out, and I like to point out things that are wrong. And I am not afraid to do so in an open forum. And you can't cancel me. Let's just put it that way. You can't cancel me. You don't have the power to cancel me. There may be somebody out there that does, but you don't have that power. And so I'm going to say what I want to say. The power that you have is the power to turn it off. That's it. That's as far as it goes. I'm going to speak my piece and make my point known. And the reason that I'm out here doing it today is because these things happen. Here and there around the way. It unfortunately happens more often when you deal with the public and strangers than it does, I think, any other time. It's been my experience. I find that my friends are less demanding of me and less insistent upon me than other people are who feel that that I owe them something, that I'm there for them, that's what my reason is, that I exist to be there for them, and that they can just treat you any way they want, and they can just say anything that they want to you, and they make assumptions about you, and they can make assumptions that are related to your business or your lifestyle or any number of other things that they have no business commenting on because they don't know you and they don't know the situation. They don't know exactly what it is they're talking about, let alone it be something of just a political or social opinion. And if you know me outside of the comic book shop, if you know Toward Anarchy and the things that I've been doing for years, the hundreds and hundreds of hours of broadcasting that I've done, conversations that I've had with different people all around the world, from presidential candidates and, even Bob Dole back in the day, being here in Kansas. Many of you will appreciate that. Yeah, even interviewed Bob Dole back in the day, back in my earliest radio days. And it's very frustrating, and you feel bad about it, but not really. I guess I'll just get into it, and I'll just tell you what exactly is going on. So what happens is I'm the guy up front, right? I'm the person that I attract the lightning because I'm the one that speaks up. I'm the one that has a voice. I'm the one that has a platform. I'm the one that knows how to use the technology. When I say you can't cancel me, I mean you can't cancel me. You can't stop me from putting my voice and my appearance and my points of view, whatever it is, out there because I do it all myself. I know how to do it all myself. I'm a technology guy. I'm also an artist and a creator and have been all of my life. I draw and I paint and I sculpt. I don't do all of these things on a constant basis, but these are all things that I'm capable of doing and have done throughout my life. I do them to interest, and that's about it. When I do a few things, oh, look, I created myself my own peace statue, Necron 99 Wizards, Ralph Bakshi. I created my own statue because they didn't have one at the time. So I have one, and Ralph loves it. So I'm an artist, and I'm also a multi-instrument musician. I play multiple instruments. I have all my life. There were basically two things I wanted to do with my life: program computers and make art in one form or another, whether that was playing instruments or whether that's drawing or painting or sculpting or whatever it happens to be. I make a lot of art on computers, in fact, and I'm not even talking about AI, which we'll get to. I make a lot of art on computers and have over the years, and it's a long and tedious process, and it requires a lot of computing processing power and expensive software programs, or at least it used to. It doesn't so much anymore. It's actually quite easy. That's one of the reasons that you can't cancel me, is because I know how to use all of these tools, and I know how to use them for free or cheap, and so I can produce all of this stuff very, very easily. A flood of it. I put more than 2 hours of content out every single week, and I have thousands of followers and friends and all around the world on the various social media platforms, and that doesn't even count the people who listen to the live show that's every week across the network. I'm out there. I'm in this. I do this, and when it comes to the collecting and the comic book stuff, I've been doing that almost as long as I've been creating art and being a musician and being a creative person myself in my life. I picked up comic books at a very young age, and they've been a part of my life almost that entire time. I've gone through short periods where I didn't have books for a while, didn't collect comic books for a while, wasn't aware I could get them, and wasn't interested because the majority of what you could get is, you know, the same sort of superhero fare. You know, how special is it to be a creator and do Spider-Man now after 85 years or whatever it's been? And dozens and dozens and dozens of other artists and interpretations, and just the corporate abuse of properties and the people who create them. It's funny, the people who will be against AI will, it's just because we're getting there. People who will be against AI will be completely for the corporations, and I'm talking about artists and creators, and I'm talking about very specific people. I don't name names. It's not a game I play. I don't care about that. You want to find out if there's something that I'm talking about that's a real thing, generally speaking, you'll be able to go out there and find out about it. That's what I do. I talk about true things, real things. And if you go out there and look, you'll find that these things and these people are out there, and there are people who are out there that are corporate whores. There's no better way to put it. They only do their artwork for the corporations and for those major titles and for those major characters, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it, but let's be clear, those are corporations. Those are corporations that don't care about artists. They don't care about properties except the ones that they own that make them money. That's as far as that goes. If the property is used up, if it's abused, if they find a way to damage it, they don't care. They'll sell it off. They'll move on. They'll find something else to do with it. They don't care about those things. They care about their bottom line. And so it's funny to see certain artists, certain creatives who they'll be against AI or the development of something, some tool that can create, and but they'll be totally pro working for, in a relationship, in a contract with the guys who do the most damage to the comic book industry and to the longtime comic book properties. And I'm not, this is not a blanket statement about those large corporations. It's not even a statement about those large corporations. It's a statement about fact. It's corporations. It is very simply not, it's not something that you can just look at and say, all right, well, there, it's clear that these people, these groups, they're handling these things in a certain way because they want to appreciate the past. They want to appreciate the fans. They want to appreciate the creators who create the stuff. We know that that's not the case. And you know who and why and what, and you hope it gets better. You hope they fix it. You hope they figure it out. But the fact is it doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference if they do or not. And part of the problem of that, it doesn't matter, it doesn't make any difference, is the people who get upset about things that they can't change, things that they're not going to ever be able to do a single thing about, and they have to take it out on somebody else. And they have to do it in a very poor manner. You know, it's different if you approach somebody in a business setting and you ask them about their business practices and you suggest to them that maybe there's another way that you can do something, and you're offering constructive criticism. It's another thing to send an email to somebody that you've shopped in their store one or two times. You're on the pull list, but there's not any titles on your pull at the moment. Looks like maybe one's going to be added here. And you think this is a problem that happens. It happens in small business. It happens in big business. It happens everywhere where there are people who feel entitled, because you're in the public, because you're open and you open your doors, they feel entitled to be able to tell you their opinion about something. And while their opinion may be valid, it doesn't help me. It doesn't do anything for me. And so when you come to me like a snake in the grass, not like a man, and you send a digital communication and your language is such that it's, well, you know, I don't want to tell you how to do your business, but I don't like how you do your business, and I'm not going to shop with you anymore if you don't do business the way I think you should be doing business. I can't believe you don't do business my way. And then expect that somebody is going to, you know, me? No, I'm not that guy. Not at all. Listen, I'm not into lecturing people. I'm into just stating what it is that is a fact and how I feel about things. And so that's where I'm at in this conversation and in every conversation that I have with you. I may get some things wrong. I do one take. That's it. I don't mess around with trying to edit or correct or fix things. So I say stuff that's wrong. I say words wrong sometimes. I say the wrong thing when I mean to say something else. I was thinking of Justin Hawkins Rides Again the other day, and I said something about Screaming Jay Hawkins. Two totally different people, but both with the Hawkins name, and both, you know, musicians. So, you know, what can I say? That's just how the brain works, and sometimes sometimes it doesn't work. But the general point there is that I'm here when I come and do something like this. It's just straight honesty. There's no, this is raw. This just happened. That's why I decided to just flip on the microphone. I was about to do my review of Fur Force, which I'll do when I finish this. But I just wanted to get this off of my chest because it's one of those things that it lingers. It leaves me steaming just a little bit because I'm made to feel like I'm in the wrong when I'm not doing anything wrong. There's nothing wrong. And I don't appreciate that from somebody that doesn't have any say in my life. And so somebody comes in. This is exactly what happened. I received an email today to the company, to Amazing Fantasies. And it was a person who has been in the store, is not a regular customer, is someone who has been in the store once or twice here recently, who apparently decided to follow us on social media and noticed that over the last couple of years, year and a half, something like that, that I have a couple of images that I've used to create to promote the stores for just social media posts, basically. What else would I be using them for? There's no place else to use them. They're digital. You use them in the digital space. They're AI pictures that I created. They're simple little prompts that I enter into ChatGPT 4.0. That's one of them. There's another one. There's three different ones that I use, and I choose the best images that represent what it is that I've asked the machine to do for me. I am an artist. I can draw. I probably don't have anything in reach because, well, heck, I probably do in at least this sense. Here's some drawing utensils. Here's some more markers and different colors and different types of pens. And if you know artists, you know what some of these pens are for, and you understand that only an artist would have them. All right. I see there's some clay right over there. I still do some sculpting, play around with stuff every once in a while. Look, the point is that I'm no stranger to the idea of creativity. I'm no stranger to the idea, the notion that there could be some issue with AI in relation to particular artists and particular properties in terms of they have been used by these computers, these large language models, to program, to help program them, to help create them, to give them inspiration. I liken it to going to the library in some sense. It's a little bit different than this because human memory is not the same as computer memory, but it's a little bit like this. You go to the library as a person, you go to the library and you see some fantastic things, and you see some fantastic art, something that you want to create. And I've been doing this since I was a small child. My grandmother took me. I grew up in Denver. I went to the Natural History Museum there. It's one of the great ones. It's a very beautiful place, even to this day. And I grew up in museums, and I grew up in the Art Museum in downtown Denver. We were there all the time. All the time. My grandmother had passes, and we went multiple times every single year, all the time. And so I have an appreciation for symphony and art and music and literature and all of these wonderful things. That's why I love comic books, because I grew up with an appreciation for art and creativity and all of these beautiful expressions of the individual. So I'm no stranger to the idea that there is something, some things that are problematic with AI when it comes to artists. But the fact is that there's a lot of facts here, and I don't want to be glib about it, and I don't want to be flippant about it, but let's be honest. There's nothing you can do about it, all right? There's nothing you can do about it. So sending me an email and saying don't use the couple of little AI images that I used to help promote the show, but I do that too. I use AI to promote my regular show. In terms of just that image, it's very simple for me to create. If I don't make any money, it's not monetized. I've been doing this for years and years and years, and I don't monetize it because I'm not interested in the money. Again, I do it for the art. I do it for the creativity. I do it for the ability to speak and to know what's going on in my world and to be able to challenge the ideas and views that are brought to me when somebody says that we have to stop AI because it's out of control. I immediately understand that person doesn't know what they're talking about. That person doesn't know that AI is not a monolith. AI is not something that needs to be stopped. People need to be stopped from using AI to abuse other people, to abuse other people's property. That's a fact, but that's true of any tool, from the spoon to the gun to the car to the pencil, whatever it is, it's absolutely true of any tool, including money itself. Money is a tool. Well, currency is a tool. It's a tool that facilitates exchange. It's a technology that facilitates exchange. And its value, just like anything, is only in what it will buy and what people will accept for it. And that's it. And it's true of your art. It's true of my art. It's true of my music. I play the drums for 6-8 hours a week, on average. I could play more. But I don't. I get my hour or so a day in there, and I play. And you know what I play? I play digital drums. And you know what? Many, many popular artists have used for many, 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 many decades an 808 machine. It's a drum machine. Makes drum beats. Does them better than most drummers can. Not better than me, but it just happened earlier today. Just a side note, just a little distraction. It just happened to me earlier today. I was watching some stuff on YouTube, and something popped up. It's one of these. I'm a fan of Drumeo, and Drumeo is ultimately this program and these people that have this tool that they use. It's an AI tool. I hate it. It's an AI tool they use to extract the music or to block out the drums in music. So you extract the other music and reduce the drums, whatever. I actually have an app that'll do it on my phone. It's a pretty commonplace thing anymore these days. It's been something you've been able to do with technology for a long time. It's been facilitated. It's faster, easier to do with AI and technology now. But I'm watching this YouTube bit, and it's one of these guys, like a Drumeo. It's not the Drumeo guys in particular, but they're, you know, they teach people how to play drums, and they use digital tools, and they use different technology and techniques and just to help drummers get better. And I'm not familiar with the guys, but I saw this headline, something about, you know, 15-year drummer gets tips on how to take him from being a drummer to being, you know, a really good drummer. And that's, oh, really? What is that? How is that possible? How is it that somebody who claims to be a drummer for 15 years doesn't really have the basics down? And I can answer that question because I'm that type of drummer in some sense. And I don't have any formal training in it, but I've been in bands. Grew up in marching band, played the trumpet in marching band, and it all through junior high and high school, and started playing instruments in grade school when I was about 10 years old. I picked up my first trumpet. This is symphony. Grandma taking me to symphony, and the trumpet was always just one of those instruments that just stood right out. So I, from a very young age, always wanted to play the trumpet, and so I started playing as soon as they offered it in school. And so that was my first instrument. But I also play the drums, and I've been playing them pretty well in earnest for the last 5 years. I've used it as a conversation piece. It's been a topic of my show, because my show is about, it's kind of just about self-improvement. It's about not fooling yourself, not buying your own trip. It's about recognizing your own ability to do things. And I do, and I make most of those examples through my reality, my life. I showed how you have a passion for something you want to do, something you really want to take it to the next level. Yes, I played drums and all these other instruments over the years, never really concentrated on it, not what you would call a drummer, just somebody that could play the drums. I could sit down and keep a rudimentary beat, and you know, I can play 12-bar blues on the guitar simple things like that. But I wanted to take it to another level, and it's easy to do with drums because they're digital. Because you can make them digital, you can muffle the sound, and of course guitars have always been that way, and you wear a headset and you have a little rock box or something like that that you can wear on your hip. You've had been able to do that since the 80s, since the Walkman, and be able to listen to yourself play, and then eventually you could play along with other music and things like that. There's all sorts of these interesting little tools and things that you could do that with, but you couldn't ever really do that with the drums. There was was, you know, to digital drums came along. Certainly by the 80s, they were in full use in pop music and synth music, the synth pop from England and places, you know, the East Coast and some other California and some other places and weird places where, oh no, I'm not calling those people weird at all. I'm not trying to say that at all. Different, let's just say. And so it ended up, you know, these digital drums had been around for a while, but they hadn't been as easily accessible, you know, very expensive, limited programming ability, limited sound sets coming out of them. The 808 was a solution to that because it was very compact. It was easy to just program and run off, and you can do your beats and you can rap over your beats and you sing over the beats or whatever. And so there's these simple digital tools, and they've grown, and they're really, really good. And what I waited for ultimately was for price breaks on mesh sets, because the mesh heads are better than the rubber heads, because they give a more realistic action and reaction for your paradiddles and your triplets and you know, getting more than one hit out of a single stroke from a stick, in other words. And they're just amazing, and I love them. And they finally had one. And ultimately, what happened was the prices were starting to come down, and I was up on eBay looking around like I'm always doing, and oh yeah, deal. Oh, that's cool. That'd be nice. That'd be wonderful. Oh yeah. Oh man, that is so much. Hey, or best offer. All right, $250. Next thing I knew, there was a drum set at my door, and a really good one. I still use it. I'm still using it, you know, 5-6 years later, but I upgraded it. I upgraded the cage. I upgraded the brain. I added more drums to it, and I'm actually looking to double that now because I want to have another set like it. I want to have a Whitehead set, in fact, so that I can designate them as toms and so I can get some of those higher-pitched drum sounds in there. Along with just the regular toms that you have around the trap set. And so I'm a musician who understands tools. I'm a musician who understands digital tools. I'm also a computer programmer. I've been writing code since I was about 10 years old. I remember I have an award somewhere around for it that I was given in grade school for writing code and being able to successfully create very simple programs at the time, because we are talking about BASIC. I'll be 53 in 2 days. So it was definitely very basic stuff that I was working with. But I've been coding for 40 years, and I just use, you're looking at it right now, it's what's in the background of this video, not my background, the background of the video. It's the app that I've been building. It's complete. It's done. It's for our inventory. It's for our use within the store, but it also allows our customers to be able to come in and manage their pull list. And it's something that really no other comic book shops offer. There might be one or two or a few here and there, but most, if they have anything like it, it's a third party thing that they have to actually order their stuff through a third party, and then the comic book shop orders their stuff. And it's bad enough that we're distanced from these places with the technology and the people in the places with the technology. It's bad, you know, it's worse to throw a third party in there in the middle of your business. These things are hard enough. A comic book shop is hard enough to run because we don't make a lot of money. I don't know if you understand this or not. We make $2 a sale. That's about it. And that's before we paid any bills. You get that? Every comic book to us is basically a $2 sale. Oh, it's a $5 comic book. It's a $4 comic book. Yeah, we had to pay $2.50, $2 to get the comic book in the first place. So we make $2, and that's before a single bill is paid, and we still have to pay the taxes, and we still have to buy more comic books. So we're making business at $2 at a time. We're and here in our little store in this little town, we have the best store around for miles, and we are still a small comic book shop. There's, in terms of the turnover, mainly because the thing that really will keep a comic book shop going is the pull list, the new titles, the people ordering new titles. When I can get people to buy hundreds of issues every month that are new, I can keep the doors open, and then the back issues are the gravy. It's supposed to be the money in my pocket. Well, I can assure you at this point, long story short, if you follow me, if you know, if you've been around the store for years, you know what's happened in the store. You know the problems that we've had with previous business partners and people ultimately embezzling from the company. And Ben and I have struggled with this for the last 6 years, and we've come out on top of it, and we brought Dylan on. And we are in control of it. In the last, since we took over at my direction, year after year, we have reduced costs by 25% or so, and increased profits by 25% or so. And that seems to be holding true. I got to go do the taxes. I'm going to start on them tonight. Ben has the numbers for me. I'll get those put together and get that done, and we'll know this year. But it seems to be holding true this year, and it's because of making good decisions. And every dime goes right back into the store. And part of the making the good decisions is that money that's spent on things like developing an app. Well, we had to do it. We needed it. It's better for us because it gives us better control over our inventory. It's very hard to control the inventory of a comic book shop because the sales are weird. They're just weird. They're not guaranteed. They're not coming in every single day because it's not a need. It's a want. It's a luxury item. All these things. So the way people shop are sporadic. And you know, there's always a lot of talk. I brought this up and just in the video last night for the new comic books for today, so it's fresh on my mind. But it's always fresh on my mind because it's an argument that people don't get to hear. It's a story that people don't get to hear from the comic book shop owner, and I assume it's because most people are afraid to say anything because they're worried about being canceled. Well, I've proven over the years you can't cancel me, as I said. I'm not worried about it. You can't use my own words against me. My words are my words. I mean what I say, and I say what I mean. And I'm rarely wrong. And so when we get to this point, I need to wrap it up. I need to get to the point. And if you haven't figured it out, this is what happened. I received this email, and it's from somebody who comes into the store or has come into the store a couple of times and has felt that they are entitled. This is what I started to, you know, talk about here a little bit ago is one of these problems with businesses, big or small, is entitled people, entitled customers, entitled friends, entitled relatives, people who think that because they know you or because they shop with you that they can tell you in no uncertain terms how to do your business or how you should be doing your business. And they do it in a very uncouth way. They do it in a very offensive way. That's the way I have to put it. It's offensive. You know, it's always couched like, you know, here, don't be offended by what I'm about to say. And the next thing out of their mouth is the most offensive BS that somebody has ever said, right? Oh, I'm not a racist, but here's the most racist crap you've ever heard from somebody, right? It's the same thing. It's offensive to attack a businessman about his business practices and then be incredulous about him not responding well to you. And so I get the email. He tells me, this individual tells me that they didn't want to be, because, hey, I'm a customer. I've been in the store. Some old guy helped me the other day. That tells me right there. If I didn't even know who it was, but I do. And again, I don't do names, but it tells me that they're not a regular customer because everybody at this point who's a regular customer knows who Alan is. He's not some old guy. He's Alan. He's a gentleman that has been coming in the store for years and shopping with us for years, and he's retired. and he's ADD, maybe. He just likes to sort, and he likes to thumb through the comic books, and he's not even doing it just to look for comic books for himself. His own collection is huge, and he has very few that he's actually looking for himself. He doesn't really collect any new titles or anything like that. So he's not in the store to have the connection in that sense. He's in the store because he loves comic books, and he wants to be around comic books, and he loves to sort them. So it's I saw this old guy, and he was super helpful and everything, but then I just noticed that on your Facebook post there that you use this AI image, and since you're a local comic book shop, it's a LCS, not a LCBS. I should be using local artists and artists from local people to advertise my business. Well, one is they're not advertisements. I did use the images that I already created for social media, and it's just a couple of images. One is for a pull list. And so it's this, it's an anime girl, and she's the happiest girl in the world because she just received the coolest, hottest new comic book because it was on her pull list. And I told AI to draw that for me, and it did. And it drew a girl holding her pull list and a big smile on her face with the hottest new comic book in her hand. And I used that to promote the pull list. I don't see any artists coming to me and suggesting to me that they would love to do the artwork to promote the store for free. I know that happens, so you can't tell me that it doesn't happen, because I've been around comic book shops all my life, including Mile High Comics. I grew up in Mile High Comics. Literally, I was there from about the age of 10 and basically never left. I followed the store from one place to another as it moved around town, up onto Wadsworth, down on Broadway, all the different places it was, except for the new giant facility. Is not new anymore, but I've been in Topeka for so long that I've never been to the new, bigger facility for Mile High Comics. But the point is that I've been around these comics. I've been around the art. I've been around the creators. I've been around the comic book shops. I know what's going on. I understand. You're not going to tell me something I don't know about this business necessarily. You're certainly not going to tell it to me with the you should be. I'm sure this is the attitude, right? I'm sure this is a quote. I'm sure this small complaint won't do much in the grand scheme of things, but I would love to keep supporting you guys and keep you as my LCBS, LCS, if you would maybe cut back and get rid of your AI ads and posts. Well, first of all, I don't have that many. I only use those little images. There's just a couple of them that I've created. The other one is to promote that we're the Topeka's best kept secret. It just says that. It's a sign that says Amazing Fantasies, and it says Topeka's best kept secret. And no artists are being put out of work by my doing this. My not paying somebody to do that, local or otherwise, who says I should look. What about all the other artists in the world? What about artists local to call? What about my artist friends? What about all my friends who create art and do things? What about the artists who come into the store? There are many of them. they haven't said anything about it. I don't think they care, because they get it. They understand the difference between supporting a creator in an artistic endeavor and using a tool for expedience. I'm not taking anybody's work. The tools that I'm using are not taking anybody's work. Nobody owns art. Nobody owns an art style. Oh, R. Crumb, he was amazing. Nobody ever did art like that. That was a unique artistic style, except for Dr. Seuss, who did it 20 years before him. Stop. Nobody owns that. Nobody owns it. And once you create as an artist, this is something that artists need to really get over with, and something that I as an artist gave up understanding a long time ago and decided not to pursue directly art as a career because I understood it. It's only as valuable as it is to whoever finds interest in it, and that once you create it, it's not yours anymore. It's out there in the world. You can't dictate how people are going to receive it. You can't dictate how people are going to do it. What they're going to do with what they see in your work. You should be glad that your work inspires somebody. You should be happy that your work is accepted where it's accepted. You should be happy that your work is your work, and you should be happy with your work. You shouldn't be concerned about what other people or other machines are creating. You continue to create, and you create, and you do better, and you do it the way that you want to do it. And stop pretending like you're particularly special. There are a lot of people who can draw, and there are a lot of people who can draw really well, and there are a lot of people who deserve to have their art recognized in their own mind. Or maybe even in my mind, or maybe even in your mind, or even in somebody else's mind. But it's all in somebody's mind. It's not a reality. It is just art. It is just done for the sake of the individual and any message or feelings that they need to get across, any story that they need to tell. If it's done for anything more than that, if you're concerned about AI taking your job, you need to level up. You need to level up your skills. You need to level up your understanding. You need to level up your understanding of computers and learn how to program computers and program AI. You know, this app that's in the background here, this code, I used an AI to do this. As a person who has been coding for 40 years, I used an AI to do this, and it's the first time I've done it. I could have done it in the past. And I helped create AI, in case you're wondering. I absolutely did. I helped train large language models before any of you ever knew what a large language model was. I worked for an AI company training them on human voices because I am a human voice, and I have been for years. But that's just that side note. But this I used an AI tool to do this, and you know what? It was great. It was wonderful. It created this wonderful framework of buggy crap that couldn't be released if I didn't know how to write code and organize code and create a database. It is a tool. It is not a replacement. It is not a substitute. It's not better. It's not worse. It's none of the things but what you use it for and how you use it. I'm not going to stop using AI tools. You're not going to stop other people from using AI tools. You're not going to tell me how to run my business. Look, I'll say it again. I don't have any artists coming to me and telling me they want to donate their art, that they want to be seen, that they'd love to draw some images for me, that they'd love to help me promote the store if I would help promote their work through the store. Be happy to do that. That's a win-win situation. But me paying an artist to run a $75 ad, it's cost me $75 to run an ad. The only time I've used any AI, I think, in one of the ads, I used AI and combination of real images of the store. It cost me $75 to do, and I have no results. It tells me how many people saw the ad and how many people interacted with it, and I get the likes and all that, but that doesn't tell me anything about whether or not somebody came in the store and spent one damn dime. Not one. It doesn't tell me that. If I did play this last one smart, I made sure to mention, say something about this ad, and a couple people mentioned it, and so I know that we made a couple of dollars in there. I don't know that we paid for the ad. How much more do I need to pay somebody to advertise my store to make money to advertise my store, because that's what I'm doing? No, nobody's getting paid at the store. I don't know if anybody know if you caught that yet. Ben gets paid a minimal amount because he needs to be able to eat and put gas in the car and come and go and pay rent and things like that. He gets paid. That's it. He's the only person getting paid in the store. There are three owners in the store. The store showed a $3 profit last year. You want some inside scoop? And that's after us digging out of the hole. If you had any idea, I could go on and on about the stories and everything that went into creating this store and what it takes to keep it going. But there's obviously just this misconception about people on the other side of the counter that they don't understand what goes on back in that store and what it requires, that, you know, the money, the investment, the time, the things to even just keep it open in that simple sense that we do on a daily basis. And it's really frustrating. It's really unfair. And I don't appreciate it when I get this. I'd love to keep you guys as my LCBS, my local comic BS. Look. Let me be honest with you, and then we'll be done with this thing. I would just get, I've been honest with you from the beginning. That's the whole point of doing this and the whole point of having this conversation. Let me tell you what I told them. They come back and tell me, you know, get rid of your AI and, you know, whatever. I'm just happy. I'm just passionate about it. And he makes a statement that's not true. Most of all comic book artists are against the use of AI. That's absolutely not true. They may be against the use of AI in creating comic books, and I have to say I'm pretty well against it myself. I don't think we need computers to write the stories. I'm against the idea of using AI as anything more than a tool for expedience. Any sort of long form conversation or piece of art, I don't think AI does it right. I'm not using AI because I think it's the best option. I would love to be able to pay an artist or a copywriter or a code writer, but I do all of this stuff myself, every single bit of it. Why? Because we're not making any money yet. We sell comic books for $2. $2, and then I got to figure out how to pay the rent. I got to figure out how to get more product back in the store. I got to figure out how to feed the big guy who's, well, I'm there about 25 hours a week, and if we're open 50 hours a week, and we might be, I don't know, I don't think it's quite that. He's there the other half of the time. I got to figure out how to feed him. I have my own ways of feeding myself, but he's kind of a big boy. He needs a lot of food. Look. I don't need you to tell me how to run my business. What I need you to do is either support my business because you love the products and you love the atmosphere, and people do. People come from all around, and everybody who comes in, especially people who don't have something like our store in their town, they don't have access. And this is even from like people, you know, right down the road. I'm pointing east right now. Look. They come in the store, they enjoy the store, they're in there because the deals are right, because they believe that buying comic books supports creators and artists, and I believe they're right. I believe they're absolutely correct on that. And they enjoy the store, they like the store. You know, I may be a bit gruff, but I'm not. I'm not really. I'm only leery and weary. I have to watch my door. I have to watch that door when I'm there behind that counter. And I have to watch every customer. And I have to watch and make sure that they're not trying to rip me off. I have to worry about every strange face that comes in the door, whether they're there to rob me. And I know that that's a sad thing, but it's absolutely true. And I'll iterate the story one more time for those of you who hadn't heard it. Most of you know me. And if you don't know me, if you've never been in the store, you may be surprised then that I carry a gun. I carry a gun everywhere. I always have. I have since, well, let's just say, since before I was legally able to carry a gun. I have carried a gun all my life. I carry one every single day. I carry it in defense of myself, and I carry it in defense of my store. And I've been standing in my store with my pistol visible on my side. Anybody can see it. It's right out there in the open. I make no bones about it. If you want to ask me about it, you want to quiz me about it, I'm an anarchist, and I'm a bigger patriot than almost any of you voters. So let's just set that aside for now and just leave it at I respect rights way more than you voters and you people who participate in your little scam called the democracy, the republic. I will have the conversation with you, and I will be right. And you can hate me, and you can hate what I believe, and I don't care because I'm still right. And I'm right for me, and I'm right for every individual, because everyone has the right of self-defense. Everyone has the right to protect their property. You know what people don't have a right to do? To insist themselves upon you, your person, your property, your business, to take what isn't yours, to put you in a situation where you have to defend yourself or your property. That's what you don't have a right to do. That's your little lecture on your precious democracy and your wonderful America. If you know me, you know I carry a gun. You know I have been standing in that store and had somebody stick $1,000 worth of product. It was more than $1,000 because the one comic book he took from my hands as I'm telling him, don't do it, don't do it. I'm watching him look at the door, don't do it, and he takes off. He took, that was a $750 comic that he took out of my hands and made a beeline for the door. I got my property back and the hundreds of other dollars of product. He had stuck a big ass thing. This box, this figure, it's a 12-inch figure, something like that, and it's like 8 inches wide. This guy had been in the back of the store long enough, nobody had noticed. It was a busy Saturday, and I think there were probably three of us in the store. And he had stuck this big-ass box in his pocket, and he was on his way out the door. It was a $300 figure. It's a Joker. It's like a half figure, and then you can see his insides or something, and they were real popular for a while. I think it was like a $500 figure, new. And so this guy stuck it in his pocket and was headed out the door with it, and he decided he was going to get brave and take a $750 comic book from the guy standing there holding a gun. If that's the sort of brazen thing that you have to put up with as a business owner, then yeah, I'm certainly right to be able to suggest that, you know, I know how to protect my property, and that you shouldn't be surprised if you come in the store and you see me there. But that point is that it's hard enough. It's hard enough to do it every single day without somebody who... Here's the deal. I don't see a name on a pull list. Well, that's not true. I see the name on the new pull list. He was not on the old pull list, so that means that he was not a previous customer at all. He's not in there. It means he's very new, because this part of the database launched Friday. It is Wednesday. There's a handful of days. So his name is in there. There's no product in there yet, which leads me to believe that he's probably, there's something for him. He was either on stuff that's already ended, and it was that quick, and we've already removed the title ad because we ported everything over and then deleted things that are no longer appropriate. It was just easier to do it that way than to sit there and try. And we don't delete them. We retire them. We deactivate them. We move them to a dormant state, to where if a comic book or a title or a customer even, this is one of the really cool things about the app and why it's great to be able to use AI, and I can sit back and look at it from a user perspective. You can manage all of your pulls. You can pause titles and put them to sleep. You can put your entire pull list to sleep, and we won't pull books for you. Oh, that's what I started to say. This is one thing it's one of these things that gets overlooked so often. You talk about, oh, well, I have a problem with the pull. A certain book didn't happen. What usually happens is that something is popular and people come too late and ask about it and want to get it on their poll, and then I have to find it for them. And then the next thing that happens is that they get on a poll on something that's popular, and you're at the bottom of the list. Everybody else gets their poll first before you if it's something we've already ordered. Those are the most likely. And then every once in a while, something just gets missed. It happens. And so there'll be a problem with the poll, and somebody will say, oh, we have a problem with the poll. And you'll hear about this. And I'm not talking about any specific customer or anything. This is not any specific instance. This is just general in comic books. So you'll have somebody talking about these things. You'll have somebody upset about it. You'll have somebody going on about a problem with their pull, and their pull's not reliable, or whatever it is. And there are varying degrees of reality to that and truth to that, and there are varying degrees of people just can't be pleased to that. It's an absolute recognizable fact. But here's the part of the conversation that nobody ever talks about, the thing that I brought up last night, just because it comes to mind when having this conversation about the pull list. We order the books and we expect you to buy them. We don't demand that you buy them, but if you order a book, we expect you to own up to it and order the book. We expect you to meet your part of the bargain. We came in, we offer you the pull list for free. You said, will you buy this book for me? And when it comes in, I'll come buy it from you. And absolutely. That's the agreement. That's the extent of it. Oh, and by the way, I'll give you 20% off the cover if you do it. Fantastic. All right. It's a pretty simple agreement, but then you don't show up for 6 months. You know, that's maybe an exaggeration, but not necessarily, because I kind of go by the thickness of the pull. You know, if there's just a couple of titles in there and you haven't been around for a while, and I'm not putting things in there necessarily over and over again, it's not stacking up, it's not getting bigger, I'm not going to pull your pull. You could show up 6 months later, presumably, and buy the things out of your pull. The guy didn't show up for 6 months and I took something out of the pull and now the pull's not in there and I'm the bad guy. No, you want to know who the bad guy is? The bad guy is the guy that orders 40 titles and then doesn't pay for them. He doesn't show up 1 month. He's got 40 titles. He decides not to show up 1 month. Doesn't call. Doesn't tell anybody. He says, hey, guys, you know what, man? I'm broke. I know how it goes. I can't do it this month. I'm not going to be able to buy books, or I just can't buy books anymore at all. Don't have the common courtesy of just saying, hey, man, you know what? Owning up, being a man, saying, hey, you know what? I got to close the pull list, man. I appreciate you. It's been cool. It's been fun. I had a great time. I had some wonderful reads. Got some great collections. Got some great books for the collection. By the way, would you like to buy some? About you could say any of these things to me and they would be wonderful, fantastic. But what I actually get is, oh, hey, yeah, that guy hasn't shown up for 3 months. Oh, crap, look at the amount of books in there, look at all that money I'm out. You're gonna come to me, you're not even on a pull list, you don't have any books on your pull, and you just have you have zero credibility with me at this point, because one, you've done the digital thing. You've basically said, well, I'm not man enough to just ask. I don't feel confident in myself, and I'm concerned, oh, the guy carries a gun. Well, maybe I can't speak to him. Maybe he'll lose his mind and just start shooting up the place. Because, yeah, I clearly have a history of that. Jesus Christ. I don't know what it is people think. But I just throw something out there. And that could be it. Maybe the guy's seen the fact that I carry a gun. Maybe he's worried to confront me. Well, he didn't talk to anybody else in the story. He didn't talk to the nice old gentleman and speak to him about anything. None of that happened. What I got was an email from some guy who's been around once or twice, that spent literally a couple of bucks in the store, in terms certainly of any, not that I didn't just take the money he spent and turn right back around and buy more comic books to sell to somebody else, invest it right back in the store. He had zero credibility with me and a hell of a lot of nerve, frankly. We have hundreds of customers. Some of them have been around for many years. I have customers in the store now. I know this store hasn't been around that long, but I have customers that have been customers of mine in comic books since 2015. So stop. All right. That's 11 years, and they're still there, and they don't care. They don't think I have a bad attitude. They're not afraid of the gun. They don't have problems with their pull list. They understand that sometimes things don't work out every time. You know what? They love comic books. They love collecting. They love the atmosphere of the store. They love to come in and shop and find bargains. We sell comic books at such amazing deals. I give the best deals, better than, hands down, better than anybody else in the store, because I'm not trying to keep the stuff. I am trying to sell it to you. I'm trying to move it so that I can get the next thing in there. I'm trying to get you to sign up for a pull list so I can keep the doors open. And then I hope you read them. I really do. I hope you read them. That's why I'm in it. I'm in it for the love of the creativity and the art. I'm in it for the access for myself so that I can enjoy the creativity and the art and I can continue my collection. I am absolutely in it for the creators, for the love of the industry, and my using AI to create a little image here or there to promote the show on social media or even in an advertisement on social media is not harming anybody. It's not putting anybody out of a job. It's not using anybody else's property. It's not using anybody else's ideas. I'm just simply not having to pay that extra expense right now when there's no money to throw at something like that. What would I do without the AI image? Well, before that, I created the images myself. That Amazing Fantasies logo, I created that. The Toward Anarchy logo, the website, all the entire website, me. I did that. All the artwork. I've made images of comic book characters. I have created from the ground up entire 3D universes and worlds. I use these tools just like anyone else. You're not going to convince me that you have any particular better opinion or idea of the way things should be, particularly when you're not even on a pull list. You're not even buying a comic book from me. You're holding me hostage. You're basically saying, I'm not going to shop with you anymore. I'm not going to shop with you at all. I'm going to go somewhere else. Good luck. Go somewhere else. You know what? Good luck getting the titles you want, because there ain't nobody else in town doing it. You want to have an attitude like that with me? I can have an attitude right back with you. Let me explain something to you. Let me make it real clear so we don't ever have to have any conversation like this again. You, as a customer or not a customer, don't have any say in my business. I'm not interested in your opinion. If you want to approach me like a man and suggest to me that there might be a better way of doing something and you want to have a conversation like a man, I will have that conversation with you. I'm always open and willing to listen, but I've been doing this a long time and most of it through trial and error, and I know where I'm at and I know where the space is, and I don't need anybody else who's not putting their money down to tell me what to do. Now, as an individual customer, yes, you're putting your money down, but as an individual customer, unless you're spending $30,000 a month with me, you're not keeping the store open. You're definitely not feeding me. You could be spending, I think you could maybe spend $15,000 a month with me and keep the store open and keep Ben fed. That's how much it would take the individual, $15,000 worth of comic books from an individual, to suggest that you're the reason why the store stays open. So this isn't a, it's not a condemnation of anyone other than the person who had, and it's a small percentage. It's a very small percentage. It's the same in radio and communications, that there's a small percentage of people who think that they have to be vocal, who think that their opinion is really particularly important. And it may well could be, but I have to be really clear. I'm not in business to please you as an individual. Just like the police, this is a fact, just like the police have no expectation to protect you. That's right. Even though you call 911, this is legal precedent, Supreme Court. The police have no particular dictate, no legal or moral reason to protect you. They're there to protect and serve the community, but ultimately to uphold the law. Well, my business works in a lot the same ways. It's there to serve me. It's there to feed me and my family and serve my needs and be run my way. If I see a better way to do it, I'll do it that way. If I see a better opportunity come along, I will absolutely take that opportunity, but it's not going to come through an email from a customer who buys one comic book from me and then feels like they're entitled to tell me how to run my business. And let me just go through the rest of this because I want to be very specific. This is what I'm responding directly to him ultimately. I've already told you all this. I'm an artist, I'm a writer, a sculptor, I've done all these things. I've been in radio for 30 years. Radio was automated before I started in radio. I've been a coder for 40 years, coding right there. It's right there. It's amazing. Cool. Awesome. AI didn't do it. I did. AI was a tool I used to make it happen. It could not happen. It would not function the way it is. Those art images would not look the way I want them to look if I didn't tell them very specific things. The AI is very, very much like that. I've done all of these things. I am in all of these circles where AI and technology have been massive players for a long, long time. And you know what? I'm not threatened. I certainly don't go around telling other people how they have to feel about it when it doesn't even affect me. Okay? Most artists are not affected by AI, period. At all. In any way whatsoever. Okay? At all. Not even in the slightest, tiniest little bit does my using AI have any effect on any other artist or creative person anywhere in the world, except maybe the one who helped create that AI or that tool. That may be it, because the rest of it is math. I don't know if you understand this or not, but the reason that the computers can do these things is not because they see, it's not because they have an imagination, it's not because they have a brain, it's not because they can think, because they don't and they can't. They don't have any of those things. What they have is mathematical algorithm. That means that art is mathematically visible. It is mathematically creatable. It is mathematically appealing. Music is the exact same way. So the reason computers can do these things is because of math, not because they're a threat to replace us or replace humans in any sense of creativity. The most they're going to ever do is water down creativity for people who don't appreciate those things anyway. Nobody is going to take the AI presentation over the real artist presentation of something unless it's better. And if it's better, then the artist needs to step up. That's really, truly all there is to it. It's just a tool. They're just computers. They don't have brains. They can't think. They're not imagining things. They're following mathematical patterns. And that's why I say, there's nothing special about it. There's nothing special about your artistic vision except to you and maybe the people that you can get to buy into it. There's nothing special about creating art. You're not the only one that can do it, and you're not even the best at it. And your opinion doesn't matter. I know it sucks to realize that, but your opinion is not going to change anything. It's not going to change my mind as a store owner and the choices that I make in my business. Highly unlikely. And it's sure as hell not going to stop people from using AI. It's not going to wrap up. It's not going to conclude. It's not going to just stop right now because you decided that AI is a bad thing, that AI art is a bad thing. You and many other people have decided that. You're wrong and you're right at the same time, depending on what you're looking at and how you're looking at it. But as a tool, as a technology, as a part of my business, as a thing that ultimately makes expensive, hard to come by things a little bit more accessible for the average person, without putting a single other person out, That's a pretty massive, that's pretty great. That's a pretty wonderful thing to be able to do. It's literally capitalism. It's literally everything that America is built on in terms of the idea of everybody having a natural level playing field, that we all start from the same place in terms of there is no one impeding us from moving forward, and that if we don't like what we see out there, if we don't like how AI is doing something, go out there and build a tool, build a technology, do a thing, use your money, use your smarts, use your will to do something to counter it. And if your idea is better, if your idea works, if it's better, then your idea will be what's bought. It'll be what's used. That's the way it works. That's the way everything about our reality works. And if you want to talk about the people thought the same thing about the Industrial Revolution. There's a great book called The Incredible Bread Machine, or at least I think it's a great book. I've only read excerpts from it, but I get the general concept of it. It's economic theory, and it's talking about the idea that automation puts other people out of work. No, automation has to be automated itself. There has to be people who create the automation. And if you haven't been paying attention, we, you know, for good or for bad, again, debatable, are in a place, in a space, in time, in reality, where we have tools to make things easier for us. And the more that we can make things easier for us, the more opportunity there are for other people. The cheaper it is, whatever it is, the easier it is, the more access, the more information that's available to people, the more people who can improve their individual lives. And that's all there is to it. It's very, very simple. Just to finish this point, and I keep why? Because I just want to make sure I really have covered all of these points. It really truly is. I think I've covered it. I don't think I can say anymore. I can't believe that I actually rambled on about it for this long. But I think that there's not. It wasn't a ramble. I think that it's very poignant and it's very important for people to consider your place and your space and how you approach people. That's the biggest thing in it for me. Is how you approach people with your ideas. If you want people to accept your ideas, approach them in a way that they're willing, that they're going to be open to accepting it. Telling somebody, threatening somebody, and it doesn't, I'm not saying threatening like threatening to hurt somebody, but it is. It's a threat to hurt my business. You know, I even had to make it real clear that, you know, you can take all of this and I said, how dare you? Why don't you just mind your own business in the end? That's really what it was. And I said, and don't bother worrying about, you're going to take this and blast it all over the place, because I have thousands of followers all over the world. It's already blasted. And I didn't put you on blast, but you're willing to put my store, you're willing to force me to do and see things your way over nothing, something that doesn't affect you, doesn't affect any other artist or creator anywhere in the world, and keeps you from buying the best selection in town, keeps you from buying and supporting the artists and the creators that you supposedly are there to support. You want to buy your stuff online, you want to support a big business or something like that, you don't want to support local, that's your choice. You're not fooling anybody. I know what it means. I know what it means to buy a product that can be bought somewhere else. I am a capitalist. I buy what is economically expedient for me. I buy the best deal for the best price. If that's not in town, then it's not in town. And that's a problem that somebody in town is going to have to come up with. But this is not a problem. This isn't a problem for me. It isn't a problem from my store. It's a problem for you, and you need to learn how to approach people if you want them to believe your ideas and to change their way of thinking. This isn't the way to do it. It didn't work on me. It's not going to work on anybody else. And like I said in the email, you can come back in the store or not. I don't care. It doesn't make any difference to me whatsoever. If you had never sent me the email and never come back in the store again, I would have never noticed. And that's the way that it should have been. really kind of sad, but that's the way that it should have been. Look, I'm about selling people comic books. I'm about selling collectors comic books. I'm about, more importantly even than that, selling people something that they'll read, an imagination, exercising that brain in the reading and the imagery, as opposed to spending the time in front of the computers and the video games and the TikTok and all that stuff. I'm in it for the creators. I'm in it for the love of it. And you're not going to tell me that my love of it is any worse than yours, just simply because I understand the difference between using a tool and it improving my life and it improving my business and supporting creators and artists. Buy the comic books. You don't have to buy them from me.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy.